Okay, we're holding here, it's on page 645 in Parashat Tazria, and it's dealing with the Parashat of Mitzaras, and there's a Ramban over here, and an Abarbanel, that deal with the issue as to whether or not Tzaras is a natural phenomenon or not, which in, I guess that's, in that case, we would be justified in labeling it leprosy, because it's a leprosy-like, it's sort of a leprosy disease. So, Ramban says, "Vabeget ki abonega tzaras ze einenu b'teva klal v'hova v'olam." This is not something that's natural. It's one thing on the body, some sort of thing. On clothing, what are you going to say? V'chein nige abotim. And what about the houses? Even though it's today in modern Evrit, mildew infections are called tzaratabayit, but obviously that's a colloquial usage taken from the Chumash. Abiyot Yisrael Shleimim Lashem, Yeruach Hashem Aleim Tomid Lehamid Gufam Ubedeim Batem B'mar Toiv. He says, V'kashe Yikav Echnem Chet V'oven Yishav Kiyu B'psoroi V'bigda B'beisoi Leharis Hashem Sorelo. So he says, this is a reflection of the more intense hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael is doing what's right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is presenting them nice. Their clothing, their houses, and their bodies, which is the three layers of presentation, all look good and look healthy. When you have some sort of problem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu create some sort of sign that something is wrong. We can even make it parallel to, and it's akin to, the body. When a person is healthy, the body looks good. The gets color in his cheeks, his eyes are alive, and so on. When there's something wrong, there's discolorations, there is a dimming of that sense of the light in the eye, so to speak, and so on. They reflect some sort of disease. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Klal Yisrael was at its best, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in having it that way. So everything was meant to look good. When things started falling apart, there was a problem. That's why it says, I will give it to you in the house of the land that is yours to inherit. Kihi makas Hashem bebayis ahu. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put a negat saras. I will personally put a negat saras. Now the Ramban says there are a few caveats. Vehine enenu noigel ba'aretz shenachas Hashem. It's only Eretz Yisrael. Meshomek savol eretz Kanaan shenesim lachem la'achuza. Ve'ena domnei yisichov eskarka. It's not because it has anything to do with agriculture, which is the general rule for which things are going in Eretz Yisrael. Amipnei shlo yovin yehu ala ba'aretz nebcheres Hashem nichvat sheikh mesecha. So Ramban says that the goyim were only at Yisrael because that's the only place where you have that level of hashgacha, where it's so intense that any deviation results in a very, very tangible change in the way we look and so on. Torah's konim darasha od, another drasha sort of reinforcing that this is only at a special time. She'ena bayis mitame lachakibush v'chiluk. It had to be after Kibbush Chiluk, after they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and each person had his own nachla. Vatam, ki oz nishyashva daitam aleim ladas es Hashem, v'tish v'shchina b'soicha. Because that's when they had Hashuas Hashchina. So Hashuas Hashchina is that each and every person has his place, and he has the Shechina he's reached a certain peak in his ability to be Mekabel Shechina. He's in Eretz Yisrael and he's settled on his land and he has his place in Eretz Yisrael. V'chein ani choyishiv b'nigav godim shla nigav ba'aretz. Ramban says, I think also it's true about nigav godim. Le'hutzach ma'at me'chutzlaretz ki le'oresh shom lo'olam. And the reason, the Pasuk didn't have to say chutzlaretz because it never happened there. And that's why it says it's only in white clothing and not in colored clothing. Because it's not clear. In a colored garment, you can always say, well, it ran in the laundry. It got smudged. Tzaraas had to be a very clear indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has marked you and said, I don't like something that's going on. Well, the fikach ha-tzvurim de-shmai mitamik de-reb shimin. Maderach ha-pshat. Ibnei zeh yachzir ha-kosev ol-posik ha-beger or ha-shesi v'erev kadov ha-neis. And that's why the posik keeps saying beger or ha-shesi v'erev, because it's not a phenomenon that's a given. Each and every one is chashev. It's a nace, each and every one of them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it. Rabbi Seinu ben Medrashim kol tos kanim. I want to talk a minute or two about this because it serves to bring out two points that are unique. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about someone, he really pushes hard to bring out the best. Let's give an example in day-to-day life. A lot of people have a reasonable amount of patience with outsiders who are lacking. So if I think this person is not too bright, this person says things that are stupid sometimes, or this person says things that are awkward, if I am a patient person and understanding person, I'll be able to accept it graciously and sort of take it in a way that I can, you know, I won't insult him and so on and so forth. Yet, if it's my spouse or my child that says or does something like that, I'll explode. There are many, many people who fit in that range of being fine with an outsider and being extremely annoyed, uncontrollably so, with your own. And the reason is because it bothers you a lot more. When an outsider is an idiot, he's an idiot, and that's that. When your own kid is an idiot, there's a problem with that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, liking Klal Yisrael, wanting Klal Yisrael, having chosen Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more sensitive that we do right, that we be good, that we present what we ought to present. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quicker to show what's wrong than in somebody that's a stranger. It is a mila. And yes, I know a lot of times a person says the reason why I'm hitting you or punishing you is for your own good and don't really mean that. That's true. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since there is nothing else, it's a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds us more readily accountable and pushes us to do what's right. That's one point. Two, the point of quote-unquote punishment is not for the pain as much as to point out to the person you're wrong. It's a sign that the person is wrong. And that's something that, so even though there's no pain involved in this, it's not a painful procedure, but the very fact that Shmuel put a big X on you and said you weren't a good boy today is something that a person should think about and change, do whatever needs to be done. That's the second point. There's one more point also. There's a sense sometimes that all the punishments that happen to us when we do bad, it's almost like natural. Well, if you're not doing this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not going to give you this. If you do this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu this, and so on and so forth. Here it says that it's an incredible nace. It's rare. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're an Eretz Yisrael and you're living on a very, very high madrega of Hashgacha, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do something that is not natural to point out that something wrong happening. It's not a tevedika thing. It's special. You're different, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a very different relationship, and he wants something very different out of you, and he points it out by a very unnatural phenomenon. Okay, the next one we deals with is the Barbanel. Avraham Ban Kosov, and he brings that Yesha Daiti says he has a problem with it. Loma Loma Kosov Kan Benegab Godim Svalor. So why doesn't it say Benegab Godim when you come to Israel? Like back to Asabatim. And why is it only wool or pishtun or whatever it is? Next paragraph. Reason Shapira Shkol Elam Shpatim Zihirus Vidatarim Vidakdusha. The Choldova Hayotzemi Ateva. Anything that is not natural, who zar v'nimus and nefesh tahora, or v'nasam puzal la'asuk, so v'eshem gadim tzayim, or k'sheshev Adam bebatim tafel avachim. So he says, let's take a look. Whenever you have things that are on a certain side of what's acceptable, for instance, if we are dirtier than we would expect to be, sweatier, smellier, whatever it is, we become very uncomfortable. In other words, the nefesh has a certain level of tahara, and when we cross certain red lines that we know of, that causes us to stop being able to function. When our garments are filthy, really filthy and smelly, we don't function well. And it says, "V'gam koach hadimyon mispoil mehem, u'medamos u'metzaras beguf ha'balechayim." And when I come into a house that smells and is run down and decrepit, I think of it as disgusting, in the same way that I think of a person with leper. There's something about the disintegration, the running down, the something overwhelming, something else that reminds you of it. So I walk into a house that has in itself the same type of feel as a person who's a leper. It leaves the same impression on me. It says, "V'gam koach hadimyon mispael mehem u'medavos u'metzaras beguf ha'balechayim u'mipa'as koach hadimyon hish'ila ha'teira ela shemois negev u'metzaras begadim." And that's why the Torah used that term. So let's consider this Abarbanel, because this Abarbanel is something that really is a key for understanding many of the phrases in the Torah. He says, for instance, it says you find all sorts of metaphors. It says the trees, Oziran Atzayah, the trees will dance, will sing. And that's Ha'atzah Sarim Ha'achaf, the trees will clap hands, V'domehem. So he says, what's emes to a person is what the Koach Hadimyon is, not what the reality is. Let's go back to it. The truth to a person is not an objective truth, but rather the perceived truth. And let's bring a proof, a scientific proof, placebo effect. I come to you and I tell you these two pills will cure your headache. These two pills will reduce the swelling. It works. It's scientifically proven. It's scientifically proven that placebos work, and sometimes better than anything else. And the answer is because a lot of what affects us is the perception, and that actually affects us physically. If I tell somebody, you know, the stuff you drank now is poisonous, and you're going to start throwing up and then die, the person will become very ill. He may or may not die, but it's going to have a very profound effect on him. That's on a physical level. Certainly on a mental level. Let's give an example. Let's take, if I give you stuff that looks dirty, even though it's not dirty, you're going to feel sick about it. So the true description of something is not some objective truth. It has its place, but rather the way it impresses on a person. Let's give an example. The Torah speaks about the sun rising, the sun setting. Now, the effect that the sun has on us in terms of our perception, in terms of the way we see it, is that the sun rises and sets. Technically, it may be us turning, the earth turning. But that really is only nogea if you're setting up a satellite. It's not nogea for the way I describe it to you. And when I see a sun rising, it associates life to me and associates a positive thing. When I see a sun setting, it has different associations. The rising and setting is what it affects me. This type of mark on a clothing and on the house has the tsaras effect on you. You walk in and they say, yucks, it's a sick house. It's sick clothing. There's something sick about it. Rabbi Bernel says the true description of something, the Torah true description of something, is what impression the thing impresses, not what it is by some objective standard. That's why the Torah can call it, honestly, leprosy, because the same revulsion that you feel for leprosy you feel here also. It's something which explains, let's take another example. This is a big issue. When we speak to kids, to adults, to us, about Gehenna, we have two choices. We can describe Gehenna as a raging fire, and it's burning, and you imagine yourself, you know, you touch hot oil, and imagine roiling in it for how long. And that's one way to picture Gehenna. It's not true. There is no fires in Gehenna. It's not a physical place. But the person's perception of it is intense pain and discomfort of sin. And a person, it feels that way. A second way to explain it is, it's a very, very spiritual type of place where on a spiritual level, it's a spiritual pain for a spiritual body. But it's all doesn't exist. It's certainly not a fire, not this. It's just, so I'm more accurate, but very hard to say that this will generate the effect it's supposed to give, because if the piece of chazah is really juicy and fat, and this is only very, very, very spiritual fires, then you know, spiritual fire versus a very piece of chazah is a difficult, difficult choice. Imagine you have a little boy, who is very curious and adventurous, always looking at things and getting into trouble. He once touched a fire and he was hurt, and fire terrifies him. That's fine. Now you see him standing at the edge of a lake, looking in, and you can see on him that he would like to jump in, or he'd like to sort of see how far he can put his foot out without getting in or whatever. Now, should you yell out fire or water? Actually, you shouldn't yell at all, because yelling is not a good way, but what should you want him? So if you tell him fire, it's a technical lie, but the emotional and mental impression he has is correct. This is going to hurt as much as fire hurts. Or I could tell him it's water, and since water leaves no impression on him, it won't deter him. So there's a technical truth in fire, and there's a much more essential truth there's technical truth in water, and a much more essential truth in using the word fire. And that's why the Torah is wherever it chooses to give vivid description, Chazal, is because that's a certain emes. So the Torah calls this tsaras, and it conjures up the revulsion and the sense of disintegration, sickness. And that's good. That's what you're supposed to do. And then he says one more piece. And that's what he says, by the way, he says, that's what it says, it's really, it's a metaphor. He says, things that a person use, they sort of absorb a lot of him. So things that are very strong don't, you know, when you have soft material, it sort of gets the person's shape. But things that are tougher don't get it. All of these, he says, this is a yesod that says in many places, a person leaves a mark on the world. Whatever we do affects the world to some degree. That's the that's a physical reality. A clothing that we wear takes on the shape of the body, wears down at the points of pressure, absorbs our sweat and so on. So in terms of ruchnius, anything we come in contact with receives our personality of toiv and ra. And therefore the Torah says the clothing of a person and the things that he's very, very close to should bear the mark of the person on the object. Okay, we'll hold it here.